Man, what a great day to be together worshiping the Lord. I want to just take a few minutes. You know, as a nation, we are honoring some pretty incredible people who we wouldn't be here and experience the freedoms that we get to experience without our veterans. And I'm grateful this morning, and we honor and we remember all of you that served this nation to sacrifice your time. Some of you sacrificed your dreams so that we could see the dreams of the next generation continue and go forth. And we experience things in our nation because of the freedom that we have. And so I hope this week, it's for some kids, it's a three-day weekend, woohoo! But it's more than that, right? And I just encourage all you parents to take some time with your kids to truly remember why they have the day off and do something to honor those who have served. And so this morning, if you have served our country in any of the armed forces, can you just stand this morning? And we just want to honor you. If you served past or present, we honor you this morning. Thank you for your service. We celebrate you. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. We honor you today. Thank you. It's pretty awesome. Thank you for your service. I know our family, my brother-in-law just got home about maybe 3 weeks ago from serving in Afghanistan, and we're so excited. They're going to be here for Thanksgiving this next week just to see him and thank him as well. So thank you, all of you who served. Well, I'm excited, people. I don't know exactly what to expect of the service this morning, but as a church, we've been in a series for 6 weeks, and we've been talking about the God I never knew, talking about living an empowered life with the Holy Spirit. And so this week, I love that we get to have some special guests with us that just spent 3 or 4 days being changed and encountered by the presence of the Lord. And so we honor you. Thanks for being with us. If you were there, I just can't wait to hear the testimonies. But I was thinking about it this week, and in Revelation 12, it talks about, it says that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And so I know this morning that you men that were at the retreat were changed and transformed in God's presence. And there is something that happens as you share your story, as you share what God did in your life that we can be encouraged by. And that sounds great if you were at the retreat, right? But I want to tell you this morning, if you weren't at the retreat, I want to encourage you that you could see God perform miracles in your life today as you hear what God has done in a Christian brother that was at the retreat. Amen? And so because there is something that happens as the word goes forward that I can grab a hold of that and I can be a part of that freedom that God wants to do in my life. And so it's not just, well, I don't know this guy that's sharing, because there's something, there's an impartation that can happen in the spirit that you can grab a hold of this morning and that you can see true life change happen in your life. Because as I hear what God has done in someone's life, it encouraged me to say, if God did that for him, then God can do that for me. You may look at someone and say, man, God broke through in their marriage, or God broke through in their finances, or God broke through relationally to them. Well, if God did that to them, then that same God and that same God that has the same power can do it in me. I was thinking about it this week, and I'm just here to intro this morning. I'm not going to preach. I promised I wouldn't. But one of my just favorite themes of the New Testament is when I look at the miracles that Jesus performed. And so many times people would find Jesus and they would say, hey, Jesus, I got a sick son. Hey, Jesus, I got a sick wife. Hey, Jesus, I got a sick daughter. Would you come? And so Jesus would leave. And here's what I love about the Lord is he always performed miracles on his way to perform a miracle. People would call that a distraction. And I want to encourage you this morning that God may have done a miracle in some of these men's heart this morning, but God wants to perform miracles on his way to performing miracles. And that's us, right? And that's your heart, and that's my heart this morning, that I can be a part of what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. I got to plug it. I just got to, because I'm just that guy. So I, last night, got to participate. I coached football, and my sixth grade team won the championship, right? Woo, 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 right? That was awesome. And here's what I love is that's not a win for the kids. That's not a win just for the coaches. But everyone that's been a part of our season is like, yeah! Right? You remember when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl? And it's like, all I do, I'm just a fan. But I was a part of the win. Right? I was a big part. I was like, man, that's my team. Right? And there's a pride. And this morning, we as the body of Christ get to celebrate the win that God has done in the hearts and the lives of some of these men. Amen? And so whether you know them or not, you're part of the team this morning, and we are going to celebrate what God is doing. I am so proud of Dan Rally and the leadership team of this Word Retreat. Thank you for letting us be a part of what God's doing. You can give them a hand, but I love some of these friendships and people that I've met through planning this today and just hearing some of their hearts, and so you're going to hear from a few of them, and I just, again, I'm excited to see the relationships continue to grow through this ministry, but I'm going to welcome Dan Rally up this morning. So would you give him a big hand?
Thank you. Man, I love this church. And I love his church. I love Reach Church. I love the Living Room Church. I love Sage Hill Church. I don't know what church is represented here from Kansas City, but I love your church, man, because I love you. Actually, he's on a plane. He already left. We got people here this morning from New York City, if you can believe that. Kansas City, Juneau, Alaska. Are you ready for this? South Korea. It's in the house this morning. This ministry is not owned by any church, any denomination, any group. It's owned by the Lord. And I know a lot of you have heard about the change in me. You've talked to my wife. You maybe even seen the change in me. And I'm not going to cry this morning, because I got the strength of the Lord in me, I'll tell you. I can control those emotions. But before we put our hands together for the Lord, because he's the one that's responsible for all this, I want to tell you that my friend Paul Galera moved over to Wenatchee a couple years ago. And I was in a men's group, I told you that a couple weeks ago, with him and Dan Ackerman. They both moved away, and I lost my best friends. I'm not crying, I'm faking it. And so Paul went to this retreat, and then he told me all about it, but he didn't invite me. But then I don't live in Wenatchee. So I came home, looked it up, and I was more than intrigued, man. I was drawn. It was the Holy Spirit drawing me. And so I signed up and went in April, and I made so many good friends. You know, we're family. We're brothers. And that's a reality, you know. The world doesn't recognize that, but what the Lord gives, the world can't take away. And this weekend, I took 10 of my good brothers from this church, and we had 9, I believe, on time. I'm losing count here. Anyway, a bunch from Kirkland that were on team, and we had 5 brothers from Wenatchee who have done this ministry now for a number of years, come and leave their families, leave their homes, leave their plans for the weekend. It came and served us, and we had 25 men who visited or experienced this retreat, if you want to call it that. There's no retreat in any of us, man. We are taking ground for the kingdom. We are bold, on fire, and I could go on for hours, but I'm not going to. I'm keeping it short this morning because I want to hear these testimonies too. And there's no way that we can do any more than just kind of light a candle. That's a code word, man. I hope you got that. We light a candle, and then we can't tell you. We can't really set the fire for what God wants to do in all of our lives, is doing in all of our lives. And so, but we're going to have another one of these retreats, real soon. And all of you that weren't able to make it to this one because of schedules or whatever, you're invited. We'll tell you the date as soon as we know it. At this time, I want to invite up my good brother, Jason Chudnovsky. And as he's coming, can we give the Lord Jesus a hand? I mean, come on, give the Lord a hand.
That's not for you, you know that. I know.
This is my good brother. I've known him for 6 months. I love him like a brother I've always wanted. I have three sisters, and now I got about 100 brothers, man. I'm losing count. I got a brother named Mike sitting right there, and a brother named Sam, and I can remember these guys because they're in my heart now. You know, they're not just a casual acquaintance, but yeah. So here's my friend and good brother, Jason.
Thank you.
I'm not used to this. There's a lot of faces in this room, and my voice is gone. So, you know, hey, that's just what happens when you don't sleep for 3 days straight. Thank you for having us. We really, really appreciate it. We honestly feel like your family. I know it sounds weird, but I got to meet 10 of your guys, and I know Dan, and I feel like we're family. So it's weird what the Holy Spirit does to us and for us. So Dan's a crier. I'm a crier. So we're probably not the two best guys to be up here. Yeah, let's just cry, man. Let's just cry. So I'm gonna invite the three guys that are going to be telling their testimonies. And after that, what we're going to do is we have a couple baptisms, which is if you would want to do baptisms with us, man, it's amazing some of the changes that God has been doing in the hearts of these men. As we, you know, as we start planning for this and we get on team, one of the stories we talk about is a story the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt, right? And so God's done some miraculous things, and these Israelites are coming out of Egypt, and they're on the edge of the promised land, and God's saying, hey, go take the promised land. And Moses sends out 12 guys to go scout it out. So they go scout it out, and I think they're out for a month or so. I'm paraphrasing, so don't hold it against me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure it's 12 guys. So they scout out the land, and they're gone for a bit. And Moses says, hey, bring back proof of the fruit of the land. We won't bring back proof that what God says the land is going to be is, right? And that's exactly what they do. They come back, and they have grapes, and, you know, they're just like, he was not joking. This land's flowing with milk and honey. Like, these grapes are huge. Here's evidence of this. It is more than we could ever imagine, right? Especially to a slave nation for generations. And something happens in that moment where 10 or 11, I don't know how many of the guys go, yeah, but. They say, yeah, but. But the guys in this land are huge. They're huge. And the Israelites in that moment said, they kind of name themselves in that moment. They say, we are like grasshoppers compared to those guys. And they were right, right? They were right. I mean, a slave nation and for generations in Israel, and you've got these guys going into the land of milk and honey where there's plenty, and you've got people that are living there that are massive, massive. And so I think the reason we talk about this is because I think that we do this all the time for ourselves, because what did God say about Israel? He said, go take the land. Yeah, that may all be true. You may be grasshoppers in their eyes, in your eyes, compared to them. But that's not what I say about you, right? It's not what I say about you. You're my sons. You're my people. Go take the land. And they chose not to. And I think often we choose not to, right? We choose to believe our circumstance. We choose to believe our situations, our hurts, the lies that are in our heads. For generations, we just see, or from our whole lives, we see life through the lens of the lies that the enemy tries to put in our hearts, right? And you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's really hard to break from that. We, in that moment, are like the Israelites saying, yeah, but I'm a grasshopper, because all of this makes me feel like a grasshopper. And so this weekend is our attempt to invite the Holy Spirit into the lives of men who come to this and remind them that they're not grasshoppers, right? We are sons in the kingdom of God. We're princes. And you are, I am surrounded. My name is Jason. I'm a prince in God's kingdom, surrounded by royalty in God's kingdom. That's the truth. What would it look like for people to walk in the truth of that, even though it doesn't feel like it, right? Even though it doesn't feel like it, it takes faith and it takes honesty with ourselves to go, yeah, I feel like a grasshopper, but you know what? That's not what he says about me. So I want to invite the three guys. Why don't you come up real quick? And you know who you are. Don't pretend like you're not. And I am going to pass the microphone over to them, and they're just going to tell a little bit about what God has done in their hearts this weekend, right? And it's just, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to pray for them because I know this is nerve-wracking. These lights are awesome. But Lord, I love my brothers here. I love them more than more than they understand or can imagine. And we know that you love them even more than that. So would you speak through them? Would you continue the work that you started in their hearts? God, those seeds that were planted of truth, the breaking of the lies, would that turn into a harvest more than they could imagine in due time, God? I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is my brother Marcus.
So I don't pass out. I didn't prepare anything. I was reflecting last night after Jason kind of came into our bunk and asked if I would share a few things this morning. And I think the last time I was on stage in front of a congregation, it was a church probably about this size, and I might have been 14. I don't do public speaking, so this is a little nerve-wracking. These guys talk about being criers. I definitely am a crier. I have expressed a lot of emotion this weekend, and forgive me, I'm going to get choked up. God definitely moved this weekend. I've been presented with some challenges at home. My marriage isn't where I would like it to be. I grew up in church, grew up being a believer. Was baptized when I was probably 12 or 13. It was a decision I made. I've always had a belief in God. I've always had faith. But I lost sight of that over the course of, you know, several years, late in high school, through college, and into my married life. And I haven't been the kind of father that I think Christ would ask me to be. Had heard about this particular retreat. My brother had participated in one out in Wenatchee back in April and expressed he thought that it would be a good experience for me. And we're business partners. We work together. We grew up very, very close, played on the same sports teams, were college roommates, and I've seen some big changes in his life, and I'm so open to that, and I wanted to taste that. So I had forwarded the information over to my wife about wanting to attend this retreat, and immediately the enemy intervened and the attack began. And I backed out because I felt like if my wife didn't want me to do it, I needed to do what she was okay with and not necessarily where I felt God was pulling me. I ended up changing my mind. That didn't sit well, still hasn't gone well at home. And I'm here alone. Last night was an experience that was heartbreaking for me. I saw all these other men and their wives and their children coming and supporting them. And I hate not having that support of my spouse, but I have the support now of almost 60 awesome brothers. God met us, and he met me, and he reminded me that those years of shame and regret and the regret that I carry now, he doesn't intend for me to live that way. And I received his grace, and I know I'm on a path now and going to connect with these guys and stay connected with these guys through small group, through other opportunities just to hang out with other men of God that can support me in my journey. And it's kind of my story.
Bring it in. Get it. We hug a lot. Sorry. gotten used to it. I've gotten used to it over the weekend. Okay, so my name is Michael Rollins. I am a 15-year active duty member of the Army. I am still serving. To rewind a little bit, my childhood, growing up, I got into all the stuff you're not supposed to, you know, drinking at an early age, progressed into drug use. I've never shot up any drugs, so I'm really proud of that. But everything else, I really got into. And the one thing that really saved my life was the Army. I decided one day that I didn't want to be like that anymore, and I had to alienate myself from everything that was in my life at the time. So I joined the Army. Greatest thing I've ever done. Obviously, I'm still in, so I haven't done anything wrong to get kicked out yet. I haven't fallen back on that, and I've rose up through the ranks. I have 5 more years till I retire, and it's a little scary about what I'm going to do next. But moving on, I have two combat deployments to Afghanistan, front lines type of stuff. I came back dealing with, the PTSD, the anxiety, the depression. A lot of stuff weighed on me. Luckily, my wife of 13 years is my rock. I have two beautiful children, ages 7 and 4. But something was missing. Something was definitely missing in my life, in my family home, and I'm not modest when it comes to seeking help. You know, I have sought help regardless of the stigma that is brought across the Army, where mental health is seen as a weakness. I've hit that head on and gotten the help, and am still continuing to get the help that I need through mental health and stuff like that. But there's still stuff missing, and I was blessed growing up through those rough days through high school to have two really, really good friends that have supported me, in Andy Muse and Sam Tishner, who are frequently in the church, and talking to them and having them help me, talk me through some of my issues that I have and understanding what's going on. And this weekend, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I will be getting baptized here shortly. Yeah. So, yeah. And that's my story.
Lights, huh? I'm not going to tell my story today. I don't have time. I'm going to write it, though, and I will tell you my story, but I'm not going to tell it today. I do have some comments of what I went through this weekend. First and foremost, I am proud and honored to be a part of this group of 50 men that were in that place today. Let's give them a hand. I mean, I'm proud of that. We laughed, we hugged, and we cried. I feel like I've been watching The Wonderful Life for the end of it for the last 2 days. I said that last night, and that's how I feel. I mean, we cried and cried and laughed. There were 4 very powerful testimonies. We all fight the enemy. I have come away with more tools for this fight. I am loved by Jesus more than I know. And you know what? If you want to know where the real men are, they are in the house of God, loving their families, and loving Jesus of Nazareth. And I'd like to say thank you to my wife, Jody, for the letter. And thank you, Dallas, for the letter. And I got two letters from my sons that have said things to me that I didn't know they could say. No, I'm not going to cry. Just maybe a little. So, guys, hug your wives, hug your kids, tell them you love them, and love Jesus. That's all I got.
Dan's jumping in line for the hug here. Okay, Chris, why don't you come up, man? Where are you? You're hiding somewhere. There we go. All right. So we're going to have a couple baptisms now, if that's okay with you guys. And then after the baptisms, what we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of a ceremony that we do at the Word Retreat. I'll explain that after the baptisms, if that's good. But does that work? Yeah, the worship team, come up. Yeah, come on up. Play along as these guys get baptized. All right. Now I'm going to ask some questions as we get baptized. So come on up here. Where'd you go, Michael? That's fine. Yeah. Yeah. We didn't come prepared to be baptized, so these guys are getting dunked in their jeans. We're going to make them earn it this morning. So I'm not sure how you guys do it here, but I'm going to ask a few questions. I'll give the mic over to Chris to just kind of, you know, say his heart, and then I'm going to ask him a few questions. And then Sam's going to climb in the tub. Get on up here, brother. Yep. Sam's going to climb in the tub with Chris. Yeah, Chris and Mike. Andy, are you jumping in too, man? All right. Do it. Oh, he brought shorts. Yeah. Make sure you take your cell phones out of your pockets. So Sam and Andy are going to be the ones doing the dunking here. Chris, just kind of tell us a little bit what's going on, what went on in your life this weekend, and what makes you want to get baptized, brother.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Chris. Know everybody. I came into this weekend not knowing hardly anybody. I think I knew one or two guys this whole retreat, and Jason said it best. I got 50 brothers now. Powerful time, very, very powerful. I was baptized as a kid at some point in my life, but I don't really have any recollection or, you know, it wasn't an acknowledged thing. This weekend is the 10-year anniversary to the weekend that I gave my life to Christ. And what changed for me is I entered into a relationship with Jesus, and I let him into my heart, and I let go of the things that I've been hanging on to. And I did that, you know, to value my family and just to make the improvements in my life that I needed to. I knew since that time I wanted to get baptized again, I wanted it to be the right time, you know. It was just part of my personality, like, I got to make it romantic, and, you know, it's got to be out in some river and something like this. But I'll tell you what, the theme that came away so strong to me this weekend, and from very, very wise men, there's no time like the present, and you can't live like you know what's going to happen tomorrow. Every day is precious, and you need to live like it's your last. And God bless these guys, man. I just tell you. So now's that time. I know Christ is the answer. Christ's the answer to my family. He's what's going to make me the father I need to be, the husband I need to be, the brother I need to be. All things in Christ.
Real quick, Chris, let me. I'm not gonna put the microphone in the tub. I'm gonna ask you some questions, man. And if you agree, say yes. Okay. Yes. Do you believe that? Yeah, he already does. We've prepped him. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, fully God and fully man?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that He lived the perfect life that we couldn't live?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that he died the death on the cross that you deserve on your behalf?
Yes, I do.
And do you believe that he rose again 3 days later, conquering Satan, sin, and death?
I do.
And do you believe that he's coming back again, man?
I do, man.
Oh, praise God. Go get dunked.